lives, you're going to get more comfortable with the things of the Spirit. That's really what we're accomplishing, or trying to accomplish, through teaching you, getting you not only knowledgeable but also comfortable with the Spirit moving in our midst and moving through you. Amen. Young people, I know they've got some things planned for you, so we'll dismiss you to the activities that are just for you. And the rest of you, just have a seat and take a moment to just contemplate what you would like to see the Spirit do in this church. You know, there are things that are happening all of the time that you just aren't aware of. There are things that are happening. Well, let's just take last Wednesday's service, for example. And we opened up the end of the service for just an opportunity for ministry, for the Holy Spirit to move in our midst and for us to respond to His prompting and His leading. And there were several things that happened that you probably weren't aware of. And I bet there were several things that happened that even I wasn't aware of, because, you know, things happen amongst people and they get a word for somebody and they share it, or they pray with somebody and the Spirit moves in that moment. But if you recall, I just presenting this to encourage you that things are happening, that the Spirit is desiring to move in our midst. If you recall, last week we had that time of prayer, and somebody, I'm not going to mention any names, but somebody recognized somebody else who seemed to be in some level of stress, and they just felt compelled by the Spirit to go talk to that person and have them get prayer, and they did. I mentioned that I felt that the Lord was saying that there was somebody that had a heart condition, and that, you know, God wanted to heal that and have us pray for that. And nobody really saw anybody come up for that, but somebody actually did. Not because of, you know, HIPAA rules, I can't really divulge who that was or the extent of what happened, but but somebody was having some issues with their heart. And another thing happened. Somebody else who was here came up to me after the service and said, you know, when you said that, I felt the Spirit say, yeah, but the person that has that condition doesn't even really know it. Yeah. Well, it turned out that person that had that condition didn't really even know, because they had a monitor hooked up to them, and they knew there something was going wrong, but they didn't know what it was. And it's like, you know, the other person said, I felt I should have said that, but they didn't. And of course, then I encouraged them, well, see, that's when you should have come up and shared what the Spirit revealed to you. And I know that there were other things that happened in this service last Wednesday, probably on Sunday too, where the Spirit was moving and people were allowing themselves to flow with the prompting of the Spirit. And I just want to encourage you with just those little tidbits to know that things are happening. Amen. The Spirit is moving in our midst. And right now we aren't seeing necessarily as much as we want to see. Well, I'll say it, not necessarily. We aren't seeing as much as we want to see. We want to see more, because we know the Spirit has more to do here. And we know that you are very capable individuals, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is able to move through you if you are available and willing. We're going to talk more about that before we're done tonight. But I just wanted to start things out with you being encouraged. And in fact, right now, even as I begin this message, I want you to begin to consider, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? What is the Holy Spirit prompting for you? Maybe it is a word of prophecy. Maybe it's a word of wisdom. Maybe there's a healing that is needed in this place tonight, and the Spirit is revealing that to you. Maybe it's a word of knowledge that you have for somebody that's going to be helpful for their life in some way or another. Whatever, be open to it. And don't just, you know, be so focused in on what I'm saying that we miss what the Spirit might be saying and kind of nudging us along to begin doing more of it, the work that He desires. So let me get into the message tonight. We are talking, of course, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I could use a little less monitor. Thank you. You know, there's a lie that the devil planted in the church a long, long time ago that has yet to be uprooted. The big lie that still overshadows the church is that pastors are the ones who are supposed to be doing the work of the ministry. You know, even though a long time ago the whole divide created by the hierarchy of the church, Reformation came along and kind of wiped that out a little bit, but even so, lay people still seem to have a difficulty grasping the idea that you are the ministers. Amen. You are the ministers. Now, we are commanded to look to elders and to pastors as examples, as in Hebrews 13:7. But nowhere in Scripture will you find the concept that paints that picture that the only ones responsible for ministry, either within the body or regarding ministry outside of the body to the local community, nowhere will you find in Scripture that that's supposed to be done by the pastors. Still, most lay people have shirked their part in the ministry. Gosh, it's gotten quiet except for the pastor. It's a reality. Most lay people have shirked their responsibility. So what you end up with is pastors who are stressed out because they feel compelled to be the only ones who know everybody, to be the only ones who go and pray for those who are sick or in the hospital. They are the only ones that bear the complete burden of any counseling that has to take place within the body. And I say, that ought not be. With that much stress and that much of an expectation placed on pastors today, is it any wonder that a major reason why ministers walk away from the ministry is because they're burned out? And again, I pray it never be so in this church. And I don't want you to feel like I'm browbeating you and go, well, now look what you haven't been doing. Because you have stepped up. You have done some marvelous, really marvelous work in this church. Stepping up when we need help in the physical work of the ministry. But now, the church is maturing and it's time for us all to step up into the spiritual work of the ministry. Believe me, we don't want you to quit the physical work of the ministry. We don't want you to not do some of the things that have to get done, just manual labor kind of things and, you know, greeting people at the door and you know, helping clean up sometimes or arranging chairs or working in the tech booth or up here as part of the worship team or any other part that takes place to keep this church running and being as great a place as it is. The physical part still needs to take place, but it's time for us to step it up when it comes to the spiritual side of ministry. And I know for some people that's just going, well, that's what the pastors do. Right? And if not them, then the elders and maybe that leader who does prayer. I mean, okay, she can be that. But that's not me. That's not what I do. I'm telling you, it is. That's what you are called to be. You are to be spiritual ministers as well as doing the physical work. And that's why Paul said, we don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. If you're going to be operating as a spiritual minister, we want you to be wise in the ways of how the Spirit operates and how it is going to benefit you and the body. So in 1 Corinthians 12:1, we continue to start with that passage. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. See, the knowledge and the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit are not they're not something you don't want to understand. I mean, it's important that we not only understand it, but that we become more and more comfortable with it and in how it operates and more open to being used by the Spirit ourselves. Now, the knowledge of how the Spirit operates and the manifestation of the gifts, it's not meant to be a substitute for holy living and our personal faith in the Lord. Let me tell you what I mean. We're not to depend so completely upon the operation of the spiritual gifts that we neglect our own spiritual growth and maturity. Well, as an example, we know that pastors and teachers are part of spiritual gifts that Jesus has given to his church, right? And so many people have said, wow, we have been blessed with a good pastor. We have been blessed with good teachers. Kurt is teaching a great class on Sunday mornings. And if I just go to the class, if I just listen to the preaching, I'm done. That's all I need to do. I can depend on them. I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to study on my own. See, the pastor and the teacher and other leaders are not to be a substitute for you building yourself up and growing in your own relationship with God and in your knowledge and understanding of spiritual gifts. We are all to be growing and stretching for more and more of God. Now, just in my own personal belief, I don't know how clearly I may have said this in the past, but I'll say it again. I believe that every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ, who has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, can operate in any one of the gifts that we have been teaching on. Okay, I'm going to talk more about that as we go through this evening. But I believe that you could receive anything in that operation of the gifts to benefit the body as the Spirit wills. But you still have to study. You still have to read the scriptures. You still have to grow in your own personal walk with the Lord. You still have to live a holy life. All of these things play a part in the effectiveness of what we're talking about. And we also, you don't want to become dependent upon other people for all that we're talking about tonight. You know, in one sense, I believe that we could all receive everything that we need from the Lord without a gift of the Spirit operating through another individual in our lives, if we had our lives right, if we walked in faith and in perfect order. I think about that. I don't think we would need the manifestation of those personal gifts if we had it all together. That'd be the best possible scenario. Dependence on the Lord directly is superior to dependence on the Lord indirectly through someone else operating in these spiritual gifts. And if that's true, then we have to ask ourselves, well, then why do we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Shouldn't we all just kind of up our game and receive directly from God and just cut out the middleman? Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it? That would be nice. The truth is, our souls do not reach full maturity when we come to know Jesus. There is a process. There is a time of maturity, and there is a time of growth. And as a Christian, you just don't know it all when you begin. Amen? I mean, I've been at this thing more than 30 years, and I'm still growing, and I'm still learning. I mean, think about this. What if there were no gifts of the Spirit, and the Lord had established that the only way that you could receive from Him was through your own relationship and faith? I mean, you just got born again, and then you get a bad report from the doctor, some terrible, ugly, crazy disease that's going to take your life in 6 months if something doesn't change. But you don't have the maturity or the strength of faith to tackle that on your own. You haven't had time to develop the relationship, the deep kind of relationship with the Lord that we're talking about here, and your own level of faith. Well, if it wasn't for the gifts of the Spirit, if it wasn't for others operating in those gifts, well, you'd just have to suffer through it and probably die. But thank God, you don't have to be that spiritual giant right out of the chute, or even 30 years out. There are some grace, shall we say, given by God to those of us who still are growing and still haven't totally matured and still don't totally understand all of this, that we can rely on the Holy Spirit to that degree. And I believe that's why the Lord gave us these gifts, to keep us encouraged, to keep us alive, to keep us on track and help us grow in our maturity. Let me point out to you in Ephesians chapter 4 some of those spiritual things we were talking about outside of the gifts of the Spirit. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints and for the work of the ministry. Did you hear that? The equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. The saints, all of you are saints. If you have claimed Jesus as your Lord, you are now a saint in biblical terms. So you have been given these gifts of evangelists and pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets for the equipping of you for your work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, if an individual doesn't mature in their personal faith and in their own personal relationship with the Lord, and they simply become dependent upon someone being handy that the gifts of the Spirit might work through, that's wrong. If you're just going to rely on somebody else to do the work, somebody else to take the risk, somebody else to follow God close enough so that you don't have to, well, you don't want to be that person. The Lord wants us to be blessed through these gifts, but also become mature ourselves so that we can walk in God's best. And so that we can help others who are still learning to walk in God's best. We can be a help to one another. You know, I love a good miracle as much as anybody. You know, I want to see more miracles. Just as much as the next guy, I just love a good miracle. I love testimonies of good miracles. But here's the truth, and I've preached a message or two on this. It is more blessed to live a holy life and be led by the Spirit and just walk in the blessing of God because you are living that holy life than have to depend on a miracle to get you out of the latest snafu that you found yourself in because you've been living the wrong life. I would much rather see you walking a blessed life in the full grace of God because of the lifestyle that you have chosen and the relationship that you have with him and the faith that you've developed on your own, rather than needing a miracle every 6 months when the rent is due and you got crazy with your money. You understand what I'm saying?
You can preach on that long, man.
Well, I could, but we've got other things to cover tonight. But so I guess the whole point I'm trying to get is the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts that God has given in the way of the fivefold ministry to help us to mature is not a crutch for us to rely on and live sloppy lives in the process. Now, that's not to say that if we do all things right, that we will mature beyond our need for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because it's honestly not likely that any of us will ever reach such a level of maturity in the Lord that there is nothing else for us to learn. nothing else for us to receive. That's just probably not going to be the case. So today we are talking about the action gifts: faith, healings, and miracles. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and we get to another faith. And by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. So let's start with that first one, faith. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You have faith. All right? All of you have faith. You might not think you have much of it. You may not use it often, but all of us have faith. In fact, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you couldn't get to be a believer. You couldn't get to be one of his children without faith. Faith is how we get into the kingdom. Faith is how everything operates in the kingdom. You have faith. No doubt about that. All believers have faith. It's how we got saved. And in Romans 12, verse 3, one of my favorite scriptures, just because of the end of it, it says, "Though you, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt," and this is the part I love about this, "God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." I believe that measure of faith was all you needed to get into the kingdom to get saved. Hallelujah. You have faith. And I've taught as well, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to do a whole lot in the kingdom. Just a mustard seed of faith can do amazing things. So you have faith. Believers have faith, but their soul has to be matured through the renewing of the mind, right? If we're going to operate in that faith, you've got to change a whole lot about the way you think and about the way you act. That's the reason the scriptures speak to us about great faith, right? A level of great faith in Matthew 8:10, or little faith that it talks about in Matthew 2:26 and other places where Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." And he talks about people who had great faith. See, we tend to think in terms of different amounts of faith. Sometimes you feel like, I can believe. And then other times you think, I don't have any faith at all. Lord, give me more faith. Help me with my faith. And that's legitimate. But we're not, when we're talking about the faith that's mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 12, 9, this spiritual gift of faith, we're not talking about that kind of faith. It's different from the faith that we received at salvation. It's different from the faith that we develop and we mature in on our own. And I know it might seem kind of odd to think of faith as a gift of the Spirit, because again, everything about the Christian life involves faith. Everything. Jesus repeatedly encouraged us to have faith in God. So, he wouldn't encourage us if it wasn't a choice. Just by saying have faith in God, that implies that we have the option. We have a choice whether we're going to believe in God or not, whether we're going to believe that he is who he says he is and he'll do what he says he will do. So it is a choice in that sense. So how is it that faith would be a gift of the Spirit? Well, faith is a gift of the Spirit. And if it is, it must be something that's distinct from the everyday kind of faith that we are called to exercise in our Christian life. It is something distinct. And like all of the rest of the spiritual gifts that we have talked about in the past and that we're going to talk about still yet in the next edition of this series, all of these gifts of the Spirit are a supernatural imparting. It is supernatural. This particular gift that we're talking about, faith, is an impartation of faith that doesn't come through your natural means of renewing your mind. It's not a process that you kind of go through and help to nurture. It's a gift for those of us, truly, who haven't perfected our faith. Hallelujah. It's the empowerment to believe when our personal faith is lacking or struggling. It's a faith to believe beyond the level of the faith that we have developed on our own. I don't know where you feel your level of faith is. If you're like most of us, it never is quite enough. Am I right? You know, yes, I have faith, I believe. But man, I wish I believed even more. I wish I had more of that faith. And that's really what we're developing in our own Christian growth, in our own maturing. Many of the things that we need come to us according to what Jesus said in Matthew 9:29. It comes to us according to our faith. Right? He said, let it be unto you according to your faith. Well, if our faith is weak, we need to strengthen it. That's a process. But if you're still not there, thank God for the gift of faith. The gift of faith manifested as the Spirit and God wills, as opposed to just you. I had an experience early in my Christian life where I knew this gift of faith manifested. And it was, I don't know, I couldn't have been more than a year old in the Lord. And somebody, and I'm just learning, I'm just starting to, you know, get to be a part of Bible studies, and I'm starting to pick up a bunch of stuff. But somebody came to my house, knocked on the door, unexpected, and when I opened the door, they said, I'm sick, I have a fever, I need you to pray for me. I'm a new guy in the Lord, but I can tell you what reason, the God and the Spirit said, this is the time. At that moment, I had an impartation of faith where I had absolutely no doubt that when I prayed for that person, they were going to be healed. I don't know how to describe it other than to say it was a supernatural thing. It wasn't anything that I had within myself. There wasn't any great teaching that I had that brought me to that place where I said, okay, I am ready to pray and this person will get healed. No, it was just an overwhelming assurance and understanding that all you have to do is pray for that person and they will get healed. Not like, well, I hope they get healed. It was, they will be healed. And I asked that person to step inside and I laid hands on them and I prayed for them, not a fancy prayer, not a long prayer, just a short prayer, and instantly they were healed. They had a high fever. That fever dropped at that moment. Not because of me, not because I, you know, if somebody would have come to me and said, I need this, I would have gone, oh, okay, well, let's see, I don't know, what's the Bible say about that? And I would have tried to, you know, think my way through it and reason how this could happen. That I didn't have time for that, never thought of it. It was just a supernatural impartation of faith. That's great stuff. And I've had that happen a time or two or three or four since that time. But I just want to point out to you, it had nothing to do with how strong a Christian I was. It had nothing to do with how much I knew about healing. In fact, I knew nothing at that stage of the game. I mean, I believed in it, but I didn't know how it happened or what, you know, yes, what are the right words? And when you lay your hand on them, is it this way or is it that way? I had none of that. I was that young in the Lord. But the Spirit of God decided this was the time, this is the place, this is the person to be prayed for. And I prayed, and voila, they were healed. Hallelujah. Which brings us to that next one, healings. Healings. You know, the faith that I experienced at that moment was significantly stronger than the normal level of faith that I walked in those days or even in these days. It's not of my making or understanding. It was totally the Spirit of God deciding this was the time for this to happen. Hallelujah. So healing. Let's talk about healing. The next gift in the list. The gift of healings, of course, is also an impartation, a supernatural impartation of power that is released through an individual for the purpose of bringing healing to others. And again, I believe all of you who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit are able to operate in this gift when the Spirit encourages it. Just as all believers are encouraged to believe, we are encouraged to lay hands on the sick, we are encouraged to pray for them and see them recover. Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 17. You can read through that. These are the signs that are going to follow those who believe. And at the very end, in verse 18, it says, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. All of us are encouraged to do this on a regular basis, on a consistent basis. And you know, we encourage you to come up at the end of every service. If you need prayer and you need healing, we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you. And we're going to believe that you are going to be healed. We are not necessarily just talking quite about that. We're talking about this supernatural impartation. In John 14:12, Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And I think the greater part is there because when he goes to his Father, he's going to send the gift of the Holy Spirit to us to impart these gifts and these enablements, supernatural ability beyond what we know or what we can understand, so that though we lay hands on the sick all of the time, there are times when there is this supernatural manifestation of healing. I know there are people who believe that they have this gift of healing. I remember back in decades ago when there were those who went around the country as healers. They had the gift of healing, and they would go from church to church and they would lay hands on people and people would get healed and there would be all kinds of healings that would take place. I believe that those people who operated in that gift of healing were those who had experienced the supernatural impartation of healing at a time, as I did with that supernatural impartation of faith. You know, the interesting thing is that person came, had a very high fever, prayed for them, instantly the fever left and they were well. And for a time, anytime anybody had a fever, I prayed for them and the fever went away. And I think it was simply because I was comfortable enough praying for people at that point, particularly about fevers, because I had seen success and I didn't shy away from it. And I didn't have to think twice. Well, yeah, I know God can heal fevers because I saw him do it. And I think people that have operated in or claim to have this gift of healing, that we thought these people are gifted healers, that it wasn't necessarily just an impartation at that moment by the Holy Spirit for that healing, but I think they became comfortable with the understanding of how that gift worked. They became more confident in their faith about God being able to heal and could pray more confidently about that. And so they saw great results. And I tell you what, if we just take any old person out of this crowd, just, you know, back there, there's Poindexter. He's never prayed for anybody for healing in his life. But if Poindexter started praying for everybody in this room to be healed, I tell you what, he'd begin to see results. The reason Poindexter normally doesn't see anybody get healed because Poindexter doesn't take a chance to lay hands on people and pray for them. When you begin to walk in faith and you begin to operate with a level of boldness, you begin to actually see results. You know, there's a saying, kind of in the secular world, that goes like this, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Have you heard that saying? You know, people say, oh, they're just so lucky. Well, yeah. You know how they got so lucky? They worked really, really hard. And those who don't work hard don't get lucky nearly as much. And the same way it goes with laying hands on people and praying for the sick. If you never do it, you're not really going to see any success in that. You're not going to see people recover from their sicknesses if you don't begin to lay hands on the sick and pray for them. The more people you lay hands on to pray for to be healed, the more results you're going to see. It's very simple. And you may have to pray for 50 people before you see what you think is a really great healing. But I bet you you'll see another healing well before you get to the next 50. And another, it just works that way because you become confident and you become familiar with it. And I'm kind of off the topic a little bit because we're not necessarily talking just about this impartation of supernatural healing with this gift of the Spirit. I'm just kind of talking in general about us needing to be more proactive and begin to take a chance. Begin to do what the Bible says we should be doing as spiritual ministers. You know, some people can become very confident, they can become very familiar, and they tend to see more of the manifestation of healing. And it can characterize their ministry, can characterize how other people see them. Same way with any number of the gifts that we're talking about. You know, when you're familiar and you're confident about the manifestation, did you ever notice it tends to be a certain group of people that have messages in tongues and interpretations? People who have words of prophecy? Do you think it's the Spirit going, well, I'm just picking on that person. That's the one who's going to do it. And they're going to be the ones for this whole church that's going to carry that weight. No, it's because that person is willing to yield to the Holy Spirit. And it's because that person is grown comfortable in that. And they're willing. Your sensitivity to the Spirit will no doubt put you in a position to be used by the Spirit. Your willingness to be used by the Spirit will no doubt result in you being used by the Spirit. But if you're not sensitive and you're not willing, guess what? It's not that the Spirit wouldn't use you. I mean, I don't think at all that there are people that God favors over others when we're talking about participating with the Spirit. I think God is going to choose whoever is willing, whoever is sensitive, whoever is bold, because he wants things to get done. And the shy and the timid people just don't seem to get it done. But you don't have to be shy or timid. In Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, we see a good example, an excellent New Testament example of healing and faith. So I'm just going to read through it a little long here, but let's see. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Now, keep in mind, this guy is there every day. He is there every day, and it goes on to say, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. He's there every day. Now, Peter and John went to the temple a lot too. It's likely they went through that same gate every day, or a lot of days, and that guy was there asking for alms on those days as well. He was there every day, it says. So he asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Why did it happen on that day? I think it's because the Holy Spirit decided this is the day. It was the moment that God wanted to use to glorify his name among the people that obviously knew this man. And Peter and John could have done it any other day if the Holy Spirit would have prompted them to do so. But it was on this day, and I believe it was because of the gift of the Holy Spirit in healing, and of course faith is a part of that as well, that brought it about on this day, at this time, even though it could have happened many other times before. Healings. And then we get to miracles. Sorry about that. You know, the hardest part about doing these teachings is trying to keep it short. There's just, I don't know how we're going to do this with tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy. But anyway, miracles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, moving on from verse 9 to verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. The working of miracles. You know, all believers can experience miracles. Amen. All believers can, as in the case with all of the other gifts that we've been talking about, all believers can experience miracles. And let me deal again with maybe some of the misconceptions around the gift of the Spirit. So why is it that it seems like some people operate in these gifts and others don't? If I'm accurate in what I'm saying, and all believers can operate in these gifts, why is it that some people do and some people don't? Well, sometimes it's just a matter of knowledge. You know, I didn't know about a lot of stuff, and the more I knew, the more I was able to take advantage of that knowledge. And understanding how it works, understanding what I'm listening for, you know, how the Spirit will prompt me, and also just experience. And of course, faith, or maybe we should just call it boldness, to actually do something about it. There are some people who are continually receiving promptings by the Spirit. They know it, and they'll tell you later, oh, you know what? I kind of sensed that. But they didn't do anything about it because they didn't have that boldness. Or there are some who just are totally oblivious to the Spirit. They don't have any sensitivity to the Spirit, so they're not very, very commonly going to walk in these kind of gifts. But those who have that sensitivity are more prone to. And also, again, as I mentioned, there's a comfort level once you begin to operate in gifts. Once you understand them, once you have a little bit of knowledge, there's some comfort, comfortability? There's a comfort level and a familiarity that you know, just all of a sudden it's like, well, this is what we do. This is the normal way. This is how it's supposed to work. And some people, again, seem to operate in specific gifts and you know, might be thought of as possessing those gifts, but they don't really possess them. Again, they're just comfortable in that gift. They've operated in it. Just like I talked about in praying for somebody that had fevers. Man, I was just happy to do it. I was comfortable. I was bold. And I saw results because I did. It's just kind of the way it works. But it doesn't have anything to do with you as an individual other than your being willing to participate and have faith. Some of us, we disqualify ourselves right off the bat because we don't think we know enough. We don't think that we're holy enough. We think the other person should because they are. And the truth of the matter is they're no more typically holy than you are. You just happen to know yourself better. You know all the inside secrets about yourself. You don't know all the inside secrets about them. That's why people get depressed with, you know, social media and Facebook and stuff like that. They look at the lives of other people and they're living such wonderful lives and they never have any problems. But how come I'm always suffering with all of these things? Well, it's because they don't post all the ugly stuff in their lives. You don't know everything about them, so you think they're more qualified or better or holier or more filled with faith than you are. And that's really not the case in most cases. Most of the time, we're just people being people. And if you would just have some faith and begin to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, trust me, God wants to use you. And you are able to be used if you're just willing and, again, sensitive to the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are not something that you own. It's not something that you will hold. If it was, then there would be no need for the Spirit to will anything. right? We know that these gifts operate as the Spirit wills, as God and the Spirit wills. Well, if it's all dependent upon the Spirit of God, well, then you don't really have a whole lot of choice as to when it happens. You only have a choice as to whether you'll participate in it. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, again, this is what it says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." As he wills. So we are not the keepers or the deciders of the gift. We don't control the when or the intent or the extent of the gift. And in fact, if you try to do that, then you kind of get all messed up and things go bad. Let me say that again. We don't control the when, we don't control the intent, and we don't control the extent of the gift. We're merely vessels in which the gift flows as the Spirit wills. As the Spirit wills. The only part any of us gets to play in deciding whether we're going to be sensitive to what the Spirit wills and whether we're going to cooperate with Him. That's the only part that we play in this. Isn't that interesting? Now, I do believe that you can hinder or thwart the when or the intent or the extent of the gift. You can stop it. You can keep it from happening, even though the Spirit intends it to happen, even though the Spirit's will is for this to happen. We can thwart that by just not doing our part through ignorance or just being oblivious to the Spirit or being too timid to operate or to act when the Spirit nudges us. The more we understand and believe that these gifts are available, and the more that we are willing and comfortable, the more likely we are to be a part of the manifestation of the gifts. And wouldn't that be cool? I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that's just the coolest thing, that God would use this vessel. You know, even if I didn't get up early in the morning and pray that day, God would still use this vessel if I am willing to participate with Him. I mean, as somebody said once, you know, God doesn't have anybody working for Him that's ever been qualified yet other than His Son, Jesus. You know, so if you're thinking, I just don't think I make the grade, well, you ain't the only one. None of us, all of us are falling short of the glory of God, and yet God still decides to use us. Why? Because He has things He wants to get done. He has purposes. And He instead of relying on you to be the ever so faithful, humble, mature, spiritually sharp individual that you are, you know, if He had to rely just on that alone, there wouldn't be a whole lot that would get done in the kingdom. But if He can just rely on you to be willing, He can get a lot more done. Because it's not based on you and your power and your ability and your goodness, it's based on His goodness and His power and His ability. You're just going to be a participant. Hallelujah. So, I believe if we have, let's say, the gift of healing, if we could have that gift ourselves, if we could hold that gift ourselves, use it whenever we wanted to, I think we could become pretty comfortable with that and just settle there. Right? I mean, if I was known as the guy, hey, if you need healing, go to that guy, I'd feel pretty important and I'd be happy to just stay there. Why would I need to give a word of prophecy? Why would I need a word of knowledge? I'm happy just to be the guy with healing. Or any of the other gifts, if you just got comfortable, if you owned it, if that was your gift. I mean, it'd be very cool. But the rest of the needs of the body might not get met. If all we did was hang out there. I mean, what happens when somebody needs that word of wisdom or the body needs a message in tongues? They need the interpretation. Oh, hey, don't look at me. I got the healing thing. You're on your own. See, the same Spirit that I'm dependent upon for the gift of healing to flow will gladly manifest the gift of wisdom as well, if I'm willing, or if you're willing, gladly manifest the gift of words of knowledge and words of wisdom if somebody is willing. Why wouldn't or why shouldn't we be willing? I mean, for all of the other gifts instead of just the healing. Why shouldn't we be willing for that unless I just become rather myopic about what my role in the body is or what the Spirit is wanting to do? Ah, yes, miracles. A miracle is a spiritual, supernatural intervention of God's power over natural law. Supernatural intervention of God's power over natural law. You know, many of us are confused about really what miracles are. I mean, at least the way it sounds from our talk. We attribute miracles to everything, or everything to miracles. You know, I just happened to get to church on time. It was a miracle. Come on, you know we all say that kind of stuff, right? It's a miracle. No, a miracle, in the context of what we're reading here, a miracle is a supernatural intervention of God's power over natural law. So even though we tend to be very quick to find the good things that happen in our lives as miracles, in his book, The Gifts of the Spirit, Harold Horton wrote this detailed explanation of the working of miracles. This is really good. He said this, a miracle, therefore, is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature, a temporary suspension of the accustomed order, an interruption of the system of nature as we know it. The gift of the working of miracles operates by the energy of dynamic force of the Spirit in reversals or suspensions of natural laws. Okay, it's getting kind of deep, but hang with me. A miracle is a sovereign act of the Spirit of God, irrespective of the laws or systems. A miracle has no explanation other than the sovereign power of the Lord. God is not bound by his own laws. God acts as he wills, either within or outside of what we understand to be laws, whether natural or supernatural. To speak of God as though we were circumscribed by the laws of his own making, or as if he were circumscribed by the laws of his own making, is to reduce him to the creature plane and impair the very essence of his eternal attributes. When in a sudden and sovereign act, God steps outside the circle by which his creatures or creation are boundaried, we call it a miracle. And so does God in the Scriptures. Of course, when the Bible is talking about the gift of working miracles, it is talking about miracles that are manifested through humans. Okay, God does miracles all on his own. He doesn't even need our human intervention at times. But in this operation of the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of miracles, it does require a human interaction. God is able to do miracles without humans, but not every thing that we do is going to have God's seal of approval on it. In fact, not every healing is a miracle. Not every healings occur within the boundaries of natural law as well. Miracles are not limited to natural law. A person with a high fever who receives prayer and then begins to recover has experienced a healing. So, you know, I had in my life any number of sicknesses that I prayed for, and I saw a healing by the Spirit of God, a supernatural healing. And then there have been many healings that have come about just in the whole natural way of things. And I like to think that it wasn't nearly as tough because I was praying. But, you know, it seemed like it went through its natural course of the body healing as God designed it to work. So not every healing is a miracle or a gift of healing. Sometimes it's just a natural, well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I think any healing is a gift. Hallelujah. Because if they don't heal, then things go bad real fast in a hurry. But, you know, the virus, infection, or whatever was, you know, rebuked, it a lot of times just ends up being a slow process of natural healing. And I'm thankful again that the Lord built that into all of us. The body itself is such a marvelous creation. But when something totally supernatural happens, we'll call that a miracle, whether it's healing or whether it's some other action. In fact, in Luke 22:51, Jesus is seen healing by way of a miracle, a centurion who had his ear cut off. See, when Jesus, you remember that story, they come to arrest Jesus, and Peter takes out a sword and he swipes at the centurion and cuts his ear off, and then Jesus takes the ear and he puts it back on. Now, it's a healing, but that's a miracle healing. That was a miracle. You know, you just don't lop something off like that and stick it back on, and voila! It takes just a little more supernatural ability than its natural healing process. So Jesus reattached this servant's ear, and it was instantly whole after Peter had cut it off. That was a miracle. Amen. And that was a healing. It was a healing too. It was a miracle healing. In Matthew chapter 14, we see another kind of miracle. I'm not even going to read the whole passage. It's 14, 19, and 20, where it talks about Jesus having the multitude sit down in the grass, and he takes five loaves and a couple of fish, and he blesses it, and he starts breaking it up, and he feeds 5,000 people. Well, that's a supernatural suspension of the natural laws of all. I mean, that's just unbelievable. But it happened. It was a miracle. That's a miracle in the making, a miracle in the works. Matthew 14:25 is where Jesus, on the fourth watch of the night, is seen walking to the disciples on the sea. That's a miracle. That is a suspension of the natural laws that allowed Jesus to walk on water. And then in John chapter 6, verse 21. The disciples, they're afraid as they see Jesus walking on the water. And they willingly received him. It says this in verse 21. They willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. So they're out in the middle of this wave-tossed sea. Jesus steps into the boat, and all of a sudden, they are there on the shore. They just got translated from the middle of the lake to the shore. That's a miracle. That's suspending the supernatural laws of nature and God and all of that. That is a miracle. Those are the kind of things we talk about when we're talking about miracles. Miracles are usually instantaneous, whereas oftentimes healings can sometimes be gradual. But then there are also healings that are instantaneous. So praise God. The gift of working of miracles is a divine intervention that alters circumstances. Just kind of keep that in mind. How many of you want to see more miracles? Amen. Oh, yeah. And aren't you glad that the gift of miracles is part of the operation of the Spirit within the people and the body of believers? So I'm believing and hoping we'll see more miracles. Not just here in our services, but as we interact with our community. And, you know, I used to think, wow, if we just had this great miracle ministry, everybody would come to the Lord. It doesn't quite work that way. Jesus had a great miracle ministry. Did you notice that? Not everybody came to the Lord. Nonetheless, God uses miracles. God uses these gifts of the Spirit in order to minister to the needs of people. And it does get attention. And it does change hearts and minds. But not everybody is going to be in for that. But anyway, the next time, we're just going to wrap it up here. The next time, oh, it's actually kind of late. The next time we're going to talk about speaking, the speaking gifts, prophecy and tongues and interpretation of tongues. But that's going to be a couple of weeks because of the holidays that are coming up. So again, if you want to come up, we're going to just briefly give you a moment. If you have any inkling of the Spirit moving, I want you to feel free to participate with what the Spirit is doing. As we've just been saying through the, you know, most of the night, the Spirit is desiring to use those who are willing, those who are sensitive, those who will have at least enough boldness to step out in faith when they feel the leading. And I would not at all be surprised if right now there are some of you who are feeling a little bit of a leading, whether it be for a word of knowledge, whether it be for a tongues and interpretation, whether it be a word of wisdom, whether it be healings, whether it be any of the things that we've not fully discussed yet. But we want to give you an opportunity to begin to walk in that, to exercise your spiritual strength in following after the Lord. So we're just going to take a moment, and if, you know, as we had last week, it doesn't have to be a big public thing. You don't have to come up here to do it, but maybe you've got a word. You just sense a word that God has been speaking to you in this moment for somebody else in this room, and you want to pray for them, or you want to just share an encouraging word with them. Maybe there is somebody here who needs healing, and we're here to pray for you. If you need healing, you can come up and ask for that, and we're just going to stand in faith and believe that the Spirit is going to work in that. But just take a moment right now and be sensitive and open to whatever the Spirit might do. And you can pray in tongues for a little bit. You can just be still before the Lord and listen. You know, I believe that God wants to do miraculous things in our midst. He wants to see the needs of the body met. And even though we, in our own, let's say our own strength, might be insufficient, by the strength of the Spirit, all of this stuff can take place. We're not limited by our own limitations. Or I should say, God's not limited by our own limitations. He is willing to impart supernatural enablement to do what He would like to see done tonight. So let's just take that time, just a little moment. I'm going to... Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sure that if you've never actually received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want that, and I don't know why you wouldn't, we always want to be open to minister with you that gift. In other words, The most common way that it was imparted in the scriptures is other disciples laid hands on them and prayed for them to receive. And they asked to receive the gifts of the Spirit. So if you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and all of that, you know, just feel free to ask. And we will join with you in prayer for that gift impartation in your life. Anybody have a word? Anybody have anything they want to share? There's a... I'm not sure where that switch is. That's a new microphone.
Oh, there we go. Are you on there? I did.
Hello?
There it is.
Okay. All he gave me were three words. How much more? How much more?
I imagine that means something to somebody, or maybe several somebodies. And thank you for just giving the word and not embellishing. Just let the Spirit do the work through that one word or three words. How much more? Thank you. Anybody?
Oh, bless his name.